station making waves, WHFR.FM.
Impact is a public affairs talk program taking an in-depth look at specific organizations, events, and people who have taken up a cause to make a positive change in our communities and around the world. Please join me, Kristen, every fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. for Impact, right here on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Henry Ford Community College has a medical practice clinical management degree program that will prepare you for a rewarding career in the exciting field of healthcare. You can earn a certificate as a medical office assistant or a two-year degree in medical office management. For more information, give us a call at 800-585-HFCC.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
Looking for the latest in indie rock and pop? Well, look no further than 89.3 WHFR.FM and one chord to another. On its new day and time, Friday night or Saturday morning, depending on your perspective, from midnight until 2 a.m. Join me, Jeff, every Friday night for all the great indie rock and pop you've come to enjoy from one chord to another, just in a later time slot. Midnight till 2 a.m. One chord to another on the station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
WebAdvisor is a secure internet program that allows HFCC students and faculty to safely access their college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, current students may register for classes, drop and add classes, pay for classes, retrieve grades, view and print schedules, get updates on financial aid info, check account balances. Log on to WebAdvisor at my.hfcc.edu or from the HFCC homepage at www.hfcc.edu.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. Where local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And we'll be getting to our guest today real soon. Our guest today, by the way, is Marilyn Rubin. She is the webmaster for Alien Abduction Experience and Research. It's the biggest website in the world for the alien abduction experience. And we'll be getting with her. Alien Abduction Experience and Research is the name of it. But first, I want to let our listeners know about something very special that's coming up real shortly here. September the 18th. On September the 18th, right here at Henry Ford Community College, we're going to have Mr. Peter Robbins. Now, Peter Robbins was on the show a while back here, a couple years ago, in fact. He is a co-author with Larry Warren of the book Left at East Gate. And it's the story of the Rendlesham Forest incident, Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. And he will be speaking right here at Henry Ford Community College. And the name of his lecture will be England's Rendlesham Forest UFO Incident, Anatomy of a Best Case. And once again, he's co-author with Larry Warren of the best-selling book, Left at East Gate. That's Saturday, September 18th. Now, if you're driving in the car right now, please hold off and wait till you get home or to your destination so you can write this down. I don't want you jotting down the information while you're driving down the expressway. So also, I will mention it later in the show. You can always go to the archives by pressing the forum button on WHFR.FM and listen to the show again on this date. So, but for those of you who are not driving down the street, please grab a paper and pen and jot this down. Saturday, September 18th at the Andrew Mazara Conference Center. It's on campus here at Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn. And the address is 5101 Evergreen Road. That's 5101 Evergreen Road. The doors open at 7 o'clock, and the lecture begins at 7:30 p.m. And that's the Andrew Mazara Conference Center at 5101 Evergreen Road, just south of Ford Road and west of Southfield Expressway near Fairlane Town Center. And there's going to be free parking behind the center. There'll be signs to direct you to parking lot J. And the tickets are a mere $10 to the general public, $8 for students with ID, and you can get your tickets at the door. It's general seating. So, once again, September 18th, right here on campus. And then Sunday, the very next day, September 19th, given we already have the man in Michigan, Peter Robbins, that is, he will be in Burton, Michigan, near Flint at Wally's East Restaurant. And that address is G1341 South Center Road in Burton, Michigan. That's G1341 South Center Road in Burton, Michigan at Wally's East Restaurant. You go in, you go upstairs, there's a stairway there, you go upstairs, and it's a $20 a ticket, but that includes a all-you-can-eat brunch buffet. Now, you get there for 12 o'clock p.m., and you have an all-you-can-eat brunch buffet. And then you can see the Peter Robbins' second presentation of the weekend at Wally's. Now, MUFON is putting this on. Of course, MUFON and WHFR are putting on the Saturday night presentation. So, and then MUFON alone is doing the Sunday night in Flint, or the Sunday afternoon in Flint, rather. And so, once again, that $20 includes the all-you-can-eat buffet and the afternoon's presentation. But if you have your ticket stub now for the Saturday night presentation, when you come to Burton for the Sunday afternoon deal, you show your ticket stub from Saturday night, and non-members, non-MUFON members, pay $16 instead of $20, and MUFON members will be paying $14 instead of $20. So you really save some money by attending both of them. But once again, that $16 or $14 is going to get you all-you-can-eat brunch buffet at Wally's East Restaurant in Burton, Michigan, and the second presentation of Peter Robbins. And the name of that presentation will be The Power of Ridicule Versus a Most Uncomfortable Truth, Why We Need to Take UFOs Seriously. So it's two different presentations, two different days. One on Saturday, September the 18th, and the next one, of course, on Sunday the 19th. Peter Robbins, he's an excellent speaker, and he's an author, and he lives on the East Coast, and we're very fortunate to have him here in Michigan. So while we have him in Michigan, please take advantage of it. Come out on September the 18th to Dearborn at the Andrew Mazzara Conference Center at 5101 Evergreen Road in Dearborn, on campus, on the Henry Ford Community College campus. And once again, Sunday at Wally's East Restaurant in Burton, Michigan. So once again, I'll put this information out a little later in the show. Okay? Need to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And our guest today is Marilyn Rubin. Marilyn is the webmaster for Alien Abduction Experience and Research website, which is the largest website dedicated to the alien abduction phenomenon. You may find her website by going to www.abduct.com. And Marilyn has been an experiencer herself since childhood and has worked closely with Dr. W.C. Levengood, investigating crop formations, cattle mutilations, and subtle energies. She is also a longtime MUFON member and a good friend of yours truly, and she has been a guest on numerous radio shows, and we're happy to have her with us today on We Are Not Alone. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Thank you, David. I'm very excited to be on the show with you and your listeners.
I'm glad to have you. It's been a long time. I've been wanting to get you on the show. Other people have been turning up, and I finally caught you. So,
great. I'm glad.
Yeah. Tell us about your website.
Well, the website is focusing on alien abduction. It's been in existence almost 15 years, and we get a large number of readers from around the world. Probably a third of our audience is from outside the United States, and get lots of interesting email from people talking about their experiences.
Right. So anybody can go, and your site is abduct.com, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of sections there. There's a discussion group, questions and answers, sections on individuals' personal contact. There's a research section, drawings, and just all kinds of stuff. Anybody looking for information would get a lot of information just by browsing the website.
Very good. Very good. How long have you been running this website?
It's almost 15 years now.
Wow. Wow.
Since the Internet began.
Yeah. I bet you since the Internet began?
I'm just teasing.
I was going to say, where have I been?
since Al Gore invented the Internet,
haha. Since Al Gore invented the Internet. You know, it's taken the general public decades to accept the UFO phenomenon itself, but there are still a lot of people sitting on the fence when it comes to alien abduction. What kind of evidence is out there to indicate that this phenomenon is a real one?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things that's helping convince people that it's real is that a lot of people have cell phones with built-in cameras, and people in the past who never would have thought to snap a picture of the sky or that strange object flying by are now doing so, and they share their pictures, and they're suddenly finding out, hey, you know, that's not an airplane, that's not a helicopter, that's a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some interesting video clips that people have done with cell phones, and it's been a real eye-opener for the person up till now who has kind of ignored the phenomena. Right now, it's in your face. You can watch any of the major news networks almost any night, and you'll see some reference to somebody and their picture that they took with a cell phone camera.
Right. Right, but that's the UFO phenomena. What about the alien abduction experience? What kind of evidence is out there to suggest, yeah, that's true, that's really happening?
I think with the alien abduction phenomenon, it's taken a little bit longer for people to accept.
Right.
Part of that is because people who have the experiences or who have the trace physical evidence are reluctant to discuss it with anybody. They decide that they better not tell anybody because family and friends or coworkers will think they're strange or that there's something wrong with them. Mm. So they don't talk to anybody, so the information doesn't get out. But there is evidence out there, and there are different scientists in different parts of the world that are willing to test the trace evidence. Sometimes it's a very whitish, powdery dust that the person will notice the morning after an abduction. That's not ordinary house dust. Mm. That is dust related to the abduction experience. And there are other kinds of things like that that people can get specimens from. Some of those things include trace sampling from their yard. They might see small pod marks in the ground. And sometimes there's evidence left behind in those little tiny indentations in the yard or in the field, wherever they saw the object or the entity.
Okay. So now you've taken some of this dust, house dust, or what looks like might be house dust, and you've taken it to Dr. Levengood, and you and Levengood have checked this out, so to speak, and other things. Tell us about some of your experiences and experiments with Dr. Levengood.
Well, some of the dust particles have contained very unusual items. Most house dust is actually comprised of dead human skin, whether it's from people, their pets, whatever. Mm. But then the trace evidence that turns up is what Dr. Levengood gave the name of pseudocrystals. Under the microscope, they have very distinct shapes. They're very intricate, they're very interesting, they're very colorful, and they seem to have a solid shape to them. They're unexplainable. Nobody knows where they come from, but they do seem to be associated with abductions.
Pseudocrystals is what you call them?
Yeah, pseudocrystals is the name.
Okay.
And it describes what they look like because they are somewhat transparent or translucent. They're colorful. Sometimes they have joints in them, sometimes they don't. They can be long, they can be short. Sometimes they have what appears to be small jointed stems, and some of them are just plain pretty.
Do they appear to be like skin?
Pardon?
Do they appear to be flaky skin or something?
No, they don't look anything like skin. They are...
Or biological.
There isn't really anything like it that you or I would see in our normal daily routine. So it's really hard to describe. They, on the end, they might look like a droplet. There are pictures at the website for any reader that wants to see what some of them look like.
Okay.
But there are different colors. They're red, yellow, blue, green, brown.
Hmm.
And they are different.
And you don't see these same pseudocrystals in any other area or any other house dust other than people who claim to be abductees?
True, yeah.
I see.
For whatever reason, I mean, I've taken dust samples from public buildings, schools, restaurants, and I just have never been able to find any of these things there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So then you'll get someone who says, I believe I've been abducted last night, and so you'll get dust samples from them, and you'll find these as a rule? Or?
Yes, and what I usually tell people is to check the dust that's over the doorway to the bedroom.
Mm.
That's where they sleep, whatever room they sleep in.
Mm.
Sample of dust from up there, maybe some dust from a windowsill, or near the bed or the furniture, and especially if they see that whitish dust that I mentioned earlier.
But these pseudocrystals are not biological, are they?
No.
In other words, you can't get DNA out of them.
No, there's no DNA.
Bummer.
Yeah, really, true.
If you could get some kind of DNA out of it, you know, you could eliminate the homeowner or the alleged abductee.
Yeah.
And say, well, it's a creature, but we don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Or what it is.
But so far, it's not a creature if it has no DNA.
Yeah. There's also, we've had Dr. Lear on the show, Alien and the Scalpel, and he's found these transplants in people or not transplants, implants. Thank you very much. Implants in people, and they seem to be sending out a radio signal, a deep space radio signal.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And while they're attached, and they're also attached to, you know how a foreign object will form a tissue around the foreign object if it can't push it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it never attaches itself to the nervous system, where people claim to have been abducted by aliens. This foreign object is in a little cocoon of the patient's own tissue, and also attached to their nervous system. And while it's attached to the nervous system, it's sending out deep space radio signals, oscillating radio signals.
So is it a tracking device? Is it a medical device? I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Is right.
No. Fascinating stuff.
I know. I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Lear's work. And
Yeah.
And but has Dr. you or Dr. Levengood ever found an implant?
Yes, some of the specimens that I've given him to look at actually looked like bits of cotton string.
Cotton string.
That's what it looked like. There were actually three different ones that were tested from three different people. One in the United States, two from the United States and one from Canada. Mm-hmm. And after the testing was over, they were virtually identical in their composition.
Hmm.
And that is at the website in the research section. Those weren't transmitting any radio signals that anybody could figure out, but for some reason, they were there.
Wow.
So what purpose they served is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
But somebody thought they needed to be there. You know?
And they find this inside the abductee? The body?
Yeah.
Inside the body?
Yeah. One was found on the scalp, one was found in the chin. And I can't recall where the third person's implant was found.
So it's not like a metal implant or a transistor or anything. It's
No. Ah. I have seen what you're describing. I did see in someone once. It was not a rectangle, but it was an irregular shape.
Mm.
And honestly, it looked like a computer chip under the skin. If I hadn't seen it for myself and felt it, I don't think I would have believed it.
Right. Wow.
But it was about a half inch long on the longest side.
Now, was this object taken out of the body?
No. Interestingly, it was there for 2 weeks. It was in the palm of the hand.
Hmm.
And 2 weeks later, the individual had an abduction dream, woke up in the morning, looked at the hand, and saw that the implant was gone.
Hmm.
So, for myself, that's the largest one I've seen.
Wow.
And it was very strange under the skin, because in looking at it, there was no way the person could have put it themselves under the skin. But it was clearly stretching the skin hard enough that it kind of made it a little bit visible through the skin.
Right.
Very, very strange stuff.
And you felt the back of the skin? And.
Oh, yeah. It was very solid underneath. It was just, it reminded me a lot of, if you take a computer apart, you see all the little green boards.
Right.
With all of their little stuff on, that's what it reminded me of.
It couldn't have moved.
Cutting up the motherboard of a computer.
Right. It couldn't have moved somewhere else in the body, could it?
No, it was actually, if you look at your right hand, I can describe where it was located. If you look at your right hand,
right,
and you see where your index finger connects to your palm.
Right.
And then just go a little farther down to that space in between the thumb and the index finger.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of, there's sort of a soft tissue area, and that's where it was at.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like that large of a piece of anything, solid, if it were, you know, it couldn't really go through the arteries, could it?
Oh, no, because you realize on the long side, it was about a half inch. The shorter side was about 3/8 of an inch, and then if you were to connect that, you would see it was almost a rectangle.
Were there x-rays taken of this thing?
No. Not at all.
Because the person went to bed and woke up and it was gone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez, man.
I'm sure that's a story we can say. We've all heard that before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The timing is like, it's like we're always a day off or something.
Yeah. Well, also pregnancies, you know, people.
Yeah.
Women will be pregnant. They'll be told they're pregnant. And after their first trimester, boop, they're not pregnant anymore.
Yeah.
Doctor can't figure it out.
That's true.
Yeah. So, what was your first experience that led you to believe that you were an alien experiencer?
Well, my first experience was as a kid, and I don't know how old I was. I might have been 5, 6, 7 years old. And my little friends and I were outside playing in our neighborhood. And all of a sudden, we noticed a house that had not been in the neighborhood before. It was an empty lot. But on this particular late afternoon, around 4 o'clock, there's a house. So we're just a curious little group, and we decided we're going to go marching up to the front door and find out what's going on here. So we knock on the door, and it's answered by what we thought were people, but looking back on it, I've decided those couldn't have been people. But anyway, they let us inside. It was a husband and wife, whatever. They talked to us. The mother of the couple had me go with her to the basement, where I stayed with her for the next 5 hours while she showed me all this fascinating stuff. And meanwhile, I could hear my friends upstairs leaving. So whatever the qualifications were to remain in this mysterious house, they didn't pass the test because they got to go. And I stayed on. And a couple times I said, you know, it's getting to be dinner time. I have to go home. My mother's going to be looking for me. And the lady kept saying, no, no, it's okay for you to be here. It's all right. Don't worry about it. And then it got to be 7:30, and I said, you know, it's my bedtime. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm supposed to be at home now. And she said, don't worry about it. It's okay. You can stay. And they finally didn't let me go until 9 o'clock, and by then it was pitch black outside. I was scared to death to walk home in the dark. Because, you know, when you're a little kid, you know, in the old days, the streets didn't have that many streetlights, and it was pretty spooky walking home at night.
All right.
But I made it back home. My parents were furious with me.
Mm.
I remember my father screaming at me. He thought I'd been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And that they were going to call the police. But I would never tell them what happened. And I regret that, because if I had talked a little bit more about what happened, I might be able to remember more.
They probably would have gone to look for this house.
Yeah, exactly. But I never discussed it with them. It was like my secret between myself and that lady. And that wasn't right, but that's the way it was.
So what kind of stuff did she show you?
Well, she had us sitting on stools. She was on the stool across from me. And we were in this little room, and honestly, I don't remember any furniture at all in there. I just remember sitting on a little stool of some sort. And she had all these things she was showing me. I thought they were magic tricks, because she would make things appear and disappear. And then she was telling me all this interesting stuff. And she basically entertained me for 5 hours. I think the whole time it was a giant science lesson looking back.
Mm-hmm.
But it got me hooked on science. And I really, really enjoyed everything she taught me. And I think that's why I stayed longer than I should have. I knew I was supposed to be home for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was wrong to keep staying on there, but I just couldn't peel myself away.
Hmm.
So well, it's bizarre.
It's not like she pinned you down or anything. She just convinced you that it was...
Yeah, she was very persuasive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So these magic tricks were probably advanced technologies of which you were unaware of.
Yeah, probably. That's why I wish I had told somebody so I could remember it now, so I could give you a better description of what she showed me, but I can't because I don't remember.
A lot of people who claim to have been abducted say they're taken aboard a craft and they're shown like videos or movies or whatever of future events and cataclysmic events involving the Earth and mankind. Was any of that involved in that time?
With that lady? No, I don't remember watching any movies.
Okay.
But I have heard that from other people. A lot of other people write into the website, and they talk about being shown terrible calamities and catastrophes that are going to affect Earth. you know, whether it's natural phenomena, earthquakes, tidal waves, wars, destruction. Hmm. And they're usually pretty rattled by the time they write to the website. It's scary stuff.
Sounds
and then it doesn't help them any when I write back and say, you know, I've heard this before from a lot of other people.
Yes, we're doomed, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, also I've heard that the aliens lie. I hear that a lot. The aliens lie. They say, I forget, there were a couple of women from, they had a horse farm. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. They're in Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were told, you know, there was going to be an earthquake, get out of town, and which they did, and nothing happened, so they came back, and after the third time they were warned by these aliens, they just stayed, and they said, nah, they lie.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. So what you going to believe, you know, from them?
I think, yeah, you just have to kind of go with your own judgment, your own good common sense.
Yeah. Have you ever?
Who knows? Maybe that was a test. Maybe the aliens wanted to see how quickly these ladies could hustle and move out, you know, if they had to.
If
you know, sort of like a fire drill.
Yeah. If they'd believe them, huh?
Yeah.
Be darned.
Yeah.
So have you had any experiences like that since then?
Yeah, I've had different ones. My cousin and I had had a shared experience when we were teenagers. And strangely enough, neither of us recalled what had happened. For years, I knew something had happened on that particular day, but it wasn't until many, many years later that he and I went back to that area, and I said to him, you know, I think something happened to us this one summer. And as I told him that, it suddenly came back to him, and then it was like an avalanche of words just flowed out of his mouth after that. He kept saying, why didn't I remember this? How could I have forgotten? And then after he remembered it, then he started telling me this other stuff that had happened to him. And he's just talking on and on. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I've known this guy all my life, and this is the first I've ever heard of aliens and UFOs. So it was quite an eye-opener for both of us.
So what is it that you remembered happening?
Well, what I remembered was having gone for a walk in the early morning at my grandmother's. And I knew that something had happened, because I had no memory of the rest of the day.
Mm.
But the next day when I was playing with my friends, they all said to me, where were you yesterday? Nobody could find you. So that kind of spooked me out, because I couldn't remember either where I had been. All I knew was I went out the back door, headed for the field in the back, took a walk behind the shop, around the trees, around the vineyard. And after that, there was no memory for the rest of the day.
Huh.
And with what my cousin remember was that he and I had gone for that walk, and that something had come out of the sky, hovered over the trees, a beam of light or something came down, these creatures came out, and they began to chase us. And his recollection was that he thought I got away, because he remembered them coming up to him first. Huh. Which is the part I remember but had not told him. So somehow they took us on board. He said we were strapped down. I don't remember any of that. He said they took various specimens and samples from us.
Uh-huh.
And after that, it was a pretty tough couple of years for him to have to deal with that, because he had lived his entire adult life having all of these memories buried in the back of his mind in a locked box. And now suddenly there I was asking questions like, I think something happened to us. And it was like this huge door opened.
Huh.
You know, the drawbridge came down and all this stuff just came pouring out. And it was really very challenging for him for a couple of years to kind of come to grips with all that stuff.
Right.
Because he suddenly then started remembering things. And he remembered how scared he'd been.
Wow.
He remembered just different events, following UFOs, being chased, whatever. But
On this one occasion, or did he have other occasions where...
That was my one occasion with him, but from what he could remember, and I could remember, it seems like there were a couple of others also.
Right.
And again, the only reason they came out was because I had little fragmentary recollections in the back of my mind, and I hadn't mentioned those, but when he and I would sit down and talk, he would just suddenly say, do you remember the da-da-da? And I think to myself, oh, boy, I didn't mention that to you. And, yeah, I do remember that. So that was sort of my way of validating that what he was remembering had really happened.
Well, fill in the da-da-da. Well, you remember what?
Well, okay, and the da-da-da on the one occasion was, it was like a deer face coming out of the bushes.
Yeah.
And I had remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that you know as an adult is that there probably wasn't a deer coming out of the bushes at dusk.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Too far from the woods in that part of the country, and there weren't really any deer running around.
Right. When I think of deer, I think about a case that MUFON handled. And, of course, we won't mention any names, of course, but this gentleman and his daughter were driving along in the evening, and he didn't believe in anything, UFOs or aliens or any of this garbage, you know, so he thought. Neither did his daughter. His daughter was graduating from high school, and they were talking about college plans. And so they were, you know, engrossed in a conversation and heading down this one road, and all of a sudden, things went blurry, and it seemed like the next instant, they were on yet another road going in a, you know, like 6 miles from where they were and going in another direction. And there were deer standing along the side of the road watching them.
Hmm.
A lot of deer, you know.
A lot of deer.
Lined up down the road watching them. Now, yes, you'll see deer on a road out in the country. But do they stand along the side of the road and watch you as you drive by?
I don't think so.
No. So this is what they recalled. This was their whole experience. And, you know, it was quite upsetting, especially to the girl, the 18, 19-year-old girl.
Yeah.
My goodness. And so what do you think happened there?
Well, I think it's kind of self-evident that they didn't really see deer, but they probably saw aliens standing on the side of the road.
Right.
Either waiting for them or saying goodbye.
Probably saying goodbye if it was, you know, 6 miles away.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly, saying goodbye.
Yeah, because that was the onset, the deer part was the aftermath, because they were conscious from there on in, but it was the in-between that they were unaware of. Now, you hear a lot from people who believe in the alien abduction phenomenon or, you know, not necessarily experienced it, but, you know, believe that it is true. But when you hear somebody who is a total skeptic coming out, and a couple of them, you know, you have verified, you know, you got two people experiencing the same thing, and they're both skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you that story. You know, I don't believe in aliens, but this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. So you must believe in something weird because something weird just happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is weird. It's doubly weird when a second person experiences it. And even stranger when they sign up and join a group on the internet and find out other people have had that experience, or they join some of the groups.
Yeah.
And they find out they really, like the name of your show, We Are Not Alone.
All right. Well, I think this is the important part of groups like MUFON. MUFON is not necessarily an alien abductee support group. Okay? It just turns out kind of like that way when so many people who've had these weird experiences get together. And they can talk to each other. Don't you find that's true?
Yeah, I find that's true. In fact, I encourage people to join MUFON. I tell them it's an opportunity for them to at least connect with other people that have had similar experiences. And they'll get to hear other people's stories.
Right.
And it will help them deal with their own fear, their own panic, and it will help them sleep better at night.
Yeah, well, That all depends on who the visitor is at night, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Yeah. So I have to take a break here just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, 89.3 on your FM dial here in Dearborn, Detroit area. And you could be listening anywhere in the world on WHFR.FM on your computer. And once again, this show will be archived. So I'm going to give you that information that I gave earlier if you're just tuning in, or if you were driving along earlier and you didn't have a paper and pen. Hopefully you didn't write it down while you were driving. But if you're ready for the information now, on September the 18th, Saturday, September the 18th, Peter Robbins will be here at Henry Ford Community College at the Andrew Mazzara Conference Center. That's at 5101 Evergreen Road, Dearborn, Michigan, just south of Ford Road and west of Southfield Expressway near Fairlane Town Center. There's free parking behind the center right off of Evergreen Road, and there will be signs to direct you once you get to the Henry Ford Community College campus. The tickets are $10 and $8 for students with ID. You get your tickets at the door. It'll be general seating. And once again, then Sunday, September the 19th, in Burton, Michigan, near Flint, Wally's East Restaurant. That is, the address is G as in girl, 1341, G1341, South Center Road in Burton, Michigan. South Center Road in Burton, Michigan. Now, Saturday night here at the Henry Ford campus, he's going to do the presentation on the Rendlesham Forest case, what also referred to as England's Roswell. So a very interesting, very well-documented UFO case, and where there was a landing, people, actually hundreds of witnesses, went up and touched the object. So you'll want to see that. And also on Sunday the 19th in Burton, Michigan, The Power of Ridicule Versus a Most Uncomfortable Truth, Why We Need to Take UFOs Seriously. The tickets for that are $20 to the general public, but that includes an all-you-can-eat brunch buffet. Starts at 12 o'clock at Wally's East Restaurant. Bring your, if you attend both of them, you bring your ticket stub from Saturday night, and instead of $20, non-MUFON members will pay $16, and MUFON members will pay $14 for that event, and that once again includes the all-you-can-eat buffet. So Saturday, September 18th, Sunday, September 19th, be there. Peter Robbins will be here live doing his presentation. So hope to see you. So, Marilyn.
Yes.
Okay. We were talking about your website. We were talking about your cousin. Now, I was going to say that the alien abduction experience usually runs in family lines. Do you have reason to believe that other family members other than his cousin are part of the phenomenon?
Yeah, in my family, it's my cousin, one of my cousins, her kids, her adult children, I should say. I have another cousin that it's affected also, and so probably at least four of us on the one side of the family. The other side of the family I don't know about, but so that's four out of a group of 20-some cousins.
Okay, so would you be willing to, you know, without naming the cousin or anything, share some of the, do they share these experiences with you? And can can you share them?
Yeah, my one cousin worked in the auto industry for years, and she would work second shift and come home.
Mm-hmm.
And she would check on her kids at that time who were, you know, maybe, you know, young children sleeping in bed. her husband, I forgot what shift he worked, but anyway, she'd come home and check on the kids. And what terrified her was that there were times when she would open the door to her daughter or son's bedroom, and there would be a hooded creature bending over the bed of her child.
Oh, my Lord.
And she was terrified. She would start screaming at to get out of the room, go away. And then it would just disappear. And that happened many times. And she was so afraid, she actually didn't admit that had happened until just, maybe in the last 3 years. And even then, after she told me, she said, "Marin, don't ever ask me about this again. I can't talk about it anymore." And I said, "Well, why don't you tell her other cousin? Because, you know, these two cousins live fairly close to each other." And she said, "No, I don't want anybody else to know. I told you, and that's it."
Because she knew that you were this deeply into it with the website and all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never discussed it with her adult children. One is married. The other one is working at her job in another part of the state. It would be interesting, though, to find out what they remember from childhood, but I don't want to accidentally start something and
no.
have it get back to their mother and upset her again.
Really?
But I think they're kind of typical, though, for what happens in a family. Stuff happens to people. They are terrified of speaking of it, you know, and otherwise they don't want to know any more about it. They don't want to talk about it. They're just terrified.
Yeah. Yeah, now, the skeptics will say, like this Susan, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
You know. Well, anyway, the skeptics will say that this is all sleep paralysis. This is just dreaming. People dream these things and think they're real and yada, yada. Well, didn't you just say that this woman came home from work?
Yeah.
And walked, you know, was she asleep at the time? When she?
I don't think so.
You know, and you know, Bud Hopkins says that like 30% of his cases are when they're asleep. The rest of them, it happens when they're at work, when they're wide awake. It happens in front of other people. He wrote a book called Witnessed, where at least 20 people witnessed this abduction.
Yeah.
You know, and well, the skeptics have to totally disregard that element of the evidence to make their explanation fit, right?
Well, you know, you're right. They try hard to make their explanation fit, but here's how I answer them. They say, well, it has to be sleep paralysis because these people are seeing hooded figures around the bed. And I say, wait a minute. Most people want to be rich or famous. So if we are all having a mass hallucination, then why aren't we hallucinating about being rich and famous? You know?
Yeah. And even if it were a mass hallucination, a mass dream or something, shared dream, there's millions of people who claim to be abductees. Wouldn't that be a phenomenon in and of itself?
Yes, and I think that's what validates it, because so many people are having a similar experience.
Yeah.
And why would anybody want to make up a large gray creature or of other colors with huge eyes that terrifies them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many other shapes in the world that might be just as scary, so why is everybody coming up with ones that are kind of similar?
I think
so many people that never talk to each other or haven't checked this out on the internet or have never heard of it.
Yeah.
See, that validates it too.
And I think that those are the biggest skeptics, the ones that don't do their homework and don't check it out on the internet. Don't go to your website. Don't listen to shows like this or documentaries on the History Channel. They just hear something about it, and oh, that must be a dream. They must be crazy. They must be this. They must be that. Another excuse is they're seeking attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many people want attention by being ridiculed?
You know, nobody I know. How about you?
And not me.
Yeah, none of us do.
No.
We all want to be taken seriously.
All want to be taken seriously, yeah. But that's the thing. And I think that, you know, and I've discussed it many times on my show, is that the reason that they don't disclose the UFO phenomenon itself is because that's going to open a Pandora's box. And more people are going to say, or they're going to have more questions. And why can't you do something about these alien abductions? Well, we can't. Our hands are tied. What are we going to do? We can't do anything. But people are going to demand that something be done. And they can't. Yeah. There's nothing that can be done. Is there something that can be done?
Nothing can be done.
Okay. Now, this woman, and okay, you're going to have to help me with this because I want to say Elaine. She's written a book about how to stop alien abductions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
There's an Elaine out there, but I don't think it's the one I'm thinking of.
Some woman wrote a book on how to stop alien abductions.
Okay. Well,
maybe you don't know which book I'm talking about, is that it?
No, I thought I did, but now I'm thinking you're referring to a different book. But anyway, so the one woman, her technique is to start shouting. She's written a book. She gets some attention. And that's supposed to stop the abduction. And then people write to me and they say, do you think that stopped the abduction? And I say, well, let's put it this way. You just told me you went back to sleep afterwards, so what do you think happened? Because you probably won't remember it.
You won't remember it. No, no. So
it would be nice if people could stop the abductions, but I don't really think they can.
I don't know.
This level, they're dealing with something that's way too technologically advanced.
Yeah. Because people usually say that in the onset of the abduction, they are paralyzed, whether they're in bed or not, you know.
Yeah.
And these things come on. The scientists have run these tests about they put these big helmets on people with electromagnetic magnets or something, and it causes them to to feel a presence in the room.
Yes, I've heard that.
So this explains alien abductions. So if you're wearing a helmet with big magnets on it, and you feel a presence in the room, how can that explain?
I don't think it actually proves anything myself. It
doesn't prove anything. Doesn't prove anything. What about the appearance of the beings themselves? What about being floated through a window or door? Has that ever happened to you? Floated through a window or door?
Yeah. It's fun.
Is it?
But it's kind of hard to recreate when you're fully awake. I think the reason that stuff can happen is because I don't think a person experiencing it is necessarily in the same awake state that they are right now, say, listening to you and I talk.
Right.
I think it's an altered awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I also base that on the fact that people who are about to be abducted will often remember that suddenly they were outside and it got very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
The birds stopped chirping and the crickets stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty common phenomena. So,
yeah, I often tell my story when I saw my UFO and the crickets were always chirping outside of our home, except that night. Total silence. And I remember that because it was so odd to step outside the house and not hear those crickets, you know?
Yeah, and that means something's happening. Why aren't the crickets chirping?
Right.
Can they hear something? Is there something going on at some other level?
Maybe the crickets had sleep paralysis. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Skeptics were laughing at you. How do you like it?
Sounds plausible to me.
What about hypnosis? Do you have any confidence in hypnosis as a tool to unlock abduction experiences?
Good question. A lot of people ask me, should I get hypnotized? And what I tell them is, you have to be in the right frame of mind for the hypnosis, and you have to accept the fact that you may unlock doors that will let information out that you've never before had an opportunity to process or to experience with your full emotions.
Mm.
And so for some people, well, for everybody, the hypnosis experience can be really quite overwhelming. I think it's an excellent tool, but I think people need to know going into it that that terrifying experience that they can't remember that happened to them at age 14, now they're going to feel the terror. And they're going to be experiencing it for maybe 6 months or so until they absorb it into their mainstream life and figure out, you know, what shelf in their memory they're going to put it on so they can cope with it. Because then they have to deal with the anxiety that goes with it, such as, well, why didn't they tell somebody at the time, or why didn't they do this, or why didn't they do that, or, you know, a lot of questions they ask themselves.
Yeah. It's like my wife says, don't ask questions if you don't want to know the answer, right?
Exactly. And that's pretty much what hypnosis, I think, boils down to. So it's a good tool. I think if people have an optimistic, open mind and are willing to accept whatever comes out and accept it in the fact that it may not be what they think is going to come out, that it's a good tool. And they have to work with somebody who's trained, who's not going to lead them or give them suggestions.
Right.
And they should go to somebody who at least is familiar with the subject. I've had people ask me, why can't they just go to a hypnotist who doesn't believe in abductions? Well, that doesn't make too much sense. That would be like learning to play golf from somebody that doesn't like to golf. You know, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure and disappointment.
I think that hypnotist would be leading them anyway, don't you? Leading them away.
Definitely.
From, yeah, instead of just saying, okay, what happened next? Yeah.
Yeah.
So if any of our listeners have any reason to believe that they are part of the abduction experience, how would they find out?
They can take the survey at the website. There is a 25-question survey, and it asks the reader a series of questions. And the purpose of the survey is so the reader can evaluate his or her lifetime experiences and then get a score at the end to see how his or her life matches up with people that know they've been abducted. And it's usually quite an eye-opener for people because what the questions do, it prods the memory. It gets them thinking about, hey, that weird thing that happened 10 years ago. Maybe there's a reason that happened. Maybe there was some other thing going on that I didn't pay attention to. But it gets the wheels turning and it gets them thinking about it.
Okay. Can our listeners be confident that their anonymity will be protected if they go online?
Always. There are many experiences at the website. We never use names. Sometimes somebody will say, sure, put my first name in or my city, and then I'll include it. Readers always want to know, did this happen to a man or a woman? What part of the world was it in? And that generic kind of information is always useful for anybody.
Yeah.
But reading other people's experiences helps all of us.
Yeah. But they don't have to worry that all of a sudden their name will be up
never.
In lights or up on your website or anything.
No, yeah. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, very good. And once again, your website is?
www.abduct.com.
Abduct.com. Many articles there and books available. Did you write a book?
Yeah, I wrote a book about alien abduction. Can it happen to you?
Okay.
It's an e-book at the website. It's got more information on it than is at the website itself, and I would encourage anybody interested to check it out.
You know, I have seen that book, and I thought that was your book, but am I correct in saying it doesn't have your name on the cover?
Right.
Well, then how do I know that you wrote the book?
I'm putting it on the revised edition that I'll be working on soon.
Okay. I put my names on a book, Marilyn. You know?
Yeah.
People know. But they can get the hard copy. They can get the e-book.
Yeah, the e-book. The hard copies got sold out a long, long time ago, and then I switched over to the e-book.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the hard copy's out of print.
Out of print. Sorry.
Oh, well, put it back in print and put your name on it.
It's going to be revised.
But there are a lot
of updated information.
Yeah. A lot of articles and In fact, I've authored a few articles myself for your website.
Yes, you have. Yeah. Yes, and you're a good writer too.
Why? Thank you so much. I wasn't fishing there, Marilyn. You know.
Yeah. No, you're good.
But whatever works, you know.
Yeah.
So okay, Marilyn Rubin of Abduct.com, one of the largest website on alien abduction. I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your personal experiences with us.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
It has. And hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Sounds great, David.
Okay. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
And once again, I want to remind our listeners, September the 18th, Peter Robbins right here, Saturday night at 7:30. Doors open at 7. Tickets are $10, $8 for students with ID at the Andrew Mazzara Conference Center right here at Henry Ford Community College. And the address, once again, is 5101 Evergreen Road. So I hope to see you then. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can contact me. You can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And this show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at blackvaultradionetwork.com. as well as at my website, ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. Please stay tuned to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m., when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, I'm David Twitchell, reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Am I on? Hello? Am I here? Am I here? Magical notebook. Magical notebook. Am I here? Not again. Oh, come on. Oh.